when I had my diagnosis, I thought, you know, it shouldn't take like a massive problem, like a diagnosis or a health scare or something like that for you to stop and say, whoa, I need to slow myself down. I need to take better care of myself and my mental health and my physical health, you know? So I think, so I love the idea of working on this at, you know, with the younger ages, because I feel like they're just life skills that we shouldn't wait until we're in our 40s and 50s to practice and really get better at.
Welcome to Functional Moms Podcast, lifestyle medicine for women over 40. Let's age on our own terms. This episode is for you if you are the parent of a preteen or teen girl and want to help her manage stress, self-esteem, relationship, academics, and more.
Our guest is Katie Burns of Katie Burns Wellness. She is a middle school counselor, certified wellness coach, yoga and meditation instructor. She is helping preteen and teen girls develop the confidence and mindset they need to be successful, as well as helping parents learn how to support their daughters. Katie is also a mother of twin teens.
Katie has been working in education for over 15 years as both a teacher and a counselor. But when she was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2021, she began to think about things differently. She personally changed the way she interacted with stress and overwhelm. Now she teaches girls how to face challenges in their lives using the same tools that helped her: mindfulness, organization, calming strategies, breathing techniques, yoga, and changing that negative self-talk.
Katie, thank you so much for being on the show, first of all. And we really want to hear your story and how you began helping teen girls.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here. My story, you know, begins kind of, I think, as an educator. I've been in education for a long time. I've been a teacher and a school counselor, as you guys said. And, you know, there's always been sort of something extra on the side that I've always kind of wanted to do. So, you know, within the last year, getting this business up and running has really been a dream of mine for a long time. So, you know, I've worked with students of different ages, really from middle and high school. And I have twin teenage 13-year-olds, as you said. So, you know, I'm in sort of the teenage world, preteen and teenage world in a lot of different capacities. And I love it. I really feel that, you know, we as adults try to learn a lot of things that can help us accomplish things and get through stressful times. And sometimes it takes us until our 40s and 50s and 60s to, you know, realize some things about ourselves and realize some things that we could be doing for ourselves that are helpful to us and can help us get through challenges and difficult things. And so, you know, over the last few years, as I've gone through some of those things myself, I've thought, you know, why not be trying to teach this at a younger age, you know, to our younger girls. I see myself a lot in my clients, you know, and the girls that I work with. I was a teen girl once too. We all were. And, you know, I remember it being challenging and just not really knowing yet, you know, who you are and how your surroundings, your friends impact what you think about yourself, how your relationships impact what you think about yourself and all those things. And I think that, you know, before I even get into like the rest of my kind of story, I think the biggest thing that I focus on as a wellness coach for teens is changing the way that we talk to ourselves. You know, I think that is like the key for so many things. I can give girls all day long a list of things that they could do to, you know, be more productive or like be more successful in school or take better care of themselves. And those are all things on a checklist. But what I think sometimes is missing is how we talk to ourselves and how like having the courage and the strength to get up every day and do the things you need to do to take care of yourself kind of comes from the way you think about yourself and the way you talk to yourself.
Wonderful.
Absolutely.
So my story over the last few years of having this cancer experience really drives the work that I do as well, because, you know, like you guys said, I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2021. I was just about 41 years old, and it was a pretty big shock. I don't really have much of a history, family history or anything like that. You know, it seemed to come out of nowhere. I'm sure everybody feels that way when they hear that kind of news. And I remember really clearly at the beginning of it having conscious thoughts of like, I don't want to do this. I'm not going to be able to handle it. What's going to happen? You know, these things. And at some point there was like a light bulb switch where, you know, I felt like I was faced with a choice. I felt like it was one path or the other path. Either I can't do this or I'm doing it. And I have to do it. And I'm going to have to figure out how to get through it, you know, and keep myself intact. Because you can sit on the couch and cry all day, or you can get up and take care of yourself and like do the things that you need to do. And there was plenty of time of sitting on the couch and crying all day. I'm not trying to sound like I didn't do that either.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
In the beginning. But then at some point, I started to feel like, okay, you know, I have to get a plan going here. And I have to think about the way I'm talking to myself and the way I'm going to get through all these things, you know. And I did have a little bit of a long haul. You know, I had two surgeries. I had 12 weeks of chemo. I had a month of radiation. I had a year of injections. I have a pill that I still take. I'm going to be on for the next 10 years. So there's a lot of things that have changed in my life because of the treatments that I had and, you know, some side effects and all that stuff. And so I kind of go back to that way of thinking in my mind all the time of like, okay, what every time I feel like, oh my gosh, I can't handle another thing. I can't do another thing. You know, it's like, those are the things we're telling ourselves again. So it's like, if I tell myself I can't, I'm right. And if I tell myself I can, I'm also right. So, you know, I need to change the way I think and change the way I talk to myself. And that's something that I really feel strongly about teaching our girls. I love to talk about that with teens, with my own kids, and, you know, with the girls that I work with.
Right. Do you think that there's like value? Like, I know you're saying, like, if you think this way, you can. And in that space where you said you were crying on your couch and trying to figure out how do I get myself off this couch and being more proactive about how I actually want to be and live through this process. Do you think that is it that you switched from one thing to the other, or was it that you got up off that couch and you did it, even if you were crying, but you were doing it?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of value in like the one step at a time approach. You know, I definitely had a moment of saying like, okay, I got to do something here. I'm totally overwhelmed with this, you know, diagnosis and this challenge that it's going to be. And I kind of felt like I don't really know what I'm going to do. I don't really, not really sure how I'm going to get all the way through this. And it's going to be like a year or two of my life. But I just know that right this minute, I'm going to get up and do yoga. That's it. Just the one thing. And then when I'm done with the yoga, then I don't know, then we'll see. And then like the next, you know, a few hours later, it was like, I'm going to go take a walk, or I need to go take a walk right now. And then so just like the one step at a time approach, I think is really helpful when you're dealing with like a challenge and an overwhelm, because I think a lot of it is, you know, it's kind of like the fear of getting a needle, you know, getting a shot at the doctor or something. Like, we're so worked up in our heads about it. And then when it happens, it's over, it's done. And then we're like, oh, okay, you know, so it's kind of like the overwhelm that comes with facing a challenge is a lot of it is in our minds. And, you know, we think, I'm not going to be able to handle this. I'm not going to be able to do this. What am I going to do? And all we have to do is just like put one foot in front of the other sometimes and do one thing at a time. And, you know, that's something that I work on with, you know, with coaching with my students a lot.
Yeah. It's like the power of now. It's working with the power of now.
So true.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just going back to the present, taking yourself back to where you are now.
Yeah. Right.
That makes a lot of sense. So how did you, I guess your background is in counseling and you had already been a meditation teacher in yoga. So are those like the things that you leaned on to come up with getting yourself out of that spot of like sitting on the couch and crying? Like, how did you work to that spot?
So yeah, so I have a master's in counseling. I've been a counselor for a long time. During COVID, actually, I got certified as a yoga instructor and meditation teacher. I did some work over those few years on my own here at home and through a school that I worked with. And so I already had a yoga practice, you know, up and running of my own. I would generally do yoga every morning, maybe half hour or so, 20 minutes, half hour a day. And I think, I don't know that I realized before this challenge that I had to go through how much it was helping me mentally. You know, I think I kind of always thought of it as like an exercise, you know, and it's good for my body. I'm stretching and things like that. And that's definitely all true. But all of a sudden having this mental challenge to kind of go through and face, it really gave me a time every morning to just like slow myself down, take deep breath, you know, focus, put my phone away, focus just on myself, you know, for 20 minutes or 30 minutes, and then kind of follow it with like a walk. And, you know, the things that I learned in my meditation training to become a meditation teacher are really definitely things that I leaned on during that time. You know, I had to really learn how to take things one step at a time, how to stay in the present moment, how to slow my breath down. And I started to discover, honestly, how incredible it is. Like, I find it really incredible that our stress, something that's like not tangible, something that's in our minds, can cause us such physical symptoms. You know, I mean, sadness makes you cry, nervousness makes you sweat, like, or shake, you know, all those things. It's really kind of crazy when you think about it. So, like, leaning on those yoga and meditation strategies that I had learned really helped me get through the stress of those times. So when there were moments where I was feeling the nervousness and the anxiousness creep up, if, you know, the first day of my treatment, I'll never forget that day. I was like, I could feel it, like my chest was tightening and I get so nervous and like, what's this going to feel like? What's it going to happen? Or what's going to happen? You know, and the only thing I could do was breathe like through it. That was the only thing I could do to get through it. And that's what got me through, honestly, all the breathing techniques and kind of like staying in the moment and meditations that I would do in my mind and stuff like that.
So is that how, because you often talk about taking a minute on your social media.
Yeah.
And so you've connected this. And how is that taking a minute? Like, how do you translate that? How does this help our teen girls?
Yeah. So I love that idea. And that's why I talk about a lot of my social media, because, you know, I think this is something I hear all the time. I don't know how to meditate. People say to me, I can't do that. I can't stop my thoughts. I can't slow myself down. And first of all, I always say, well, it's not about stopping your thoughts. It's just about becoming aware of them and not letting them run away with you. So that's the first thing. But the idea of taking a minute, I just love, because, you know, we're all so busy. Our kids are busy. Our teens are busy. You don't have to have an hour a day to sit on a meditation cushion in your living room or go to a yoga studio or whatever in order to calm yourself during the day. And I think, like, what I see a lot with some of the girls that I work with is once the overwhelm starts, it becomes the snowball. And then, like, we can't stop and we can't get out of our own way. And that's when thoughts like, I can't do this, start to creep in, you know, and then it's like shutting down and being afraid to like keep going and keep trying. So I love the take a minute idea because, you know, it's really so simple and so easy to take just like 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes meditation in your day to slow you down, slow down your whole system, your breathing, your nervous system, you know, your heart rate slows down when you take those long deep breaths. And people think that it's like complicated and they have to know how to meditate or they have to like do something that they feel like they can't do, like stop themselves from thinking. So I put a lot of things on my Instagram page, you've probably seen, of just small things that you can do. Like, it's pouring rain right now, like a minute of going to your back door and watching the rain come down while you take deep breaths.
Exactly.
That's meditation. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really sunny. It's a beautiful sunny day. Stand outside your front door and put your face to the sun and just feel the warmth of the sun on your face for 1 minute. Count to 60 and take deep breaths the whole time. And that's it. You know, go back to going about your day. So all those little things, I think, are things that I try to teach, you know, my clients and girls that I work with, that like, it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to take all day, you know, and it's right. Not something that you can't do. It's something that any of us can do. You just have to like be aware of it. So, you know, you do have to train yourself a little bit to say, I'm overwhelmed right now. I need to take a minute.
Right. So that's really great. That's you like, it's like basically, Kristen, this reminds me of our 5 minute workout, right? It has an accumulative effect.
Yeah.
You know?
It does. Yeah. Just taking a few minutes here and there can make a huge impact. And it's huge that you're teaching this to teen girls, because I feel like, I think you mentioned earlier, so many of us kind of float through life without these tools. And then in our 30s or 40s, you know, all of a sudden we're really feeling overwhelmed and we don't have these things to rely on. So I think the earlier that they're introduced, the better, the more productive it could be for everybody, and they won't have to suffer as much as so many of us have, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I thought the same thing, you know, when I had my diagnosis, I thought, you know, it shouldn't take like a massive problem, like a diagnosis or a health scare or something like that, for you to stop and say, whoa, I need to slow myself down. I need to take better care of myself and my mental health and my physical health, you know. So I think, so I love the idea of working on this at, you know, with the younger ages, because I feel like they're just life skills that we shouldn't wait until we're in our 40s and 50s to practice and really get better at.
Absolutely. So we have to ask you, according to the CDC in 2021, nearly 3 out of 5 teen girls felt consistently sad or hopeless, which is completely alarming. So we were just curious, like, what you think this is about? What could be going on here?
Yeah, that is really you know, upsetting when we hear those kinds of statistics. I think that, you know, there's definitely a number of factors. I think one issue that I see quite a bit is because of the presence of social media in our kids' lives. And I'm not saying it's, you know, good, bad, or whatever. I know it is what it is. It's here and we have to kind of deal with it. But I do find that I hear a lot of girls say that they have a hard time not comparing themselves to people that they see on social media and online and things like that all the time. So I don't know if that's new. You know, maybe we always did that when I was younger, when the rest of our older generations were younger. But I think because it's so readily accessible, like it's in their hand all the time, it's in their pocket all the time, to jump on Instagram and start looking at other people's posts, and everybody look prettier, thinner, happier, richer, whatever, you know, has more friends, like all these things, there's just a huge amount of comparison. And that kind of goes back to what I said earlier about, you know, the way that we talk to ourselves. So if we're going to have social media, you know, I think even as adults, we feel it. I mean, it is addictive, you know, and we see ourselves looking at other people and saying, oh, maybe they're doing better than what I'm doing, you know, whatever it is. So I think that there's even more of a need now to learn, you know, in the teenage years, how to train ourselves to recognize when we're telling ourselves negative things, when we're telling ourselves that we're not enough, that somebody else is better, you know, that we're not doing enough or looking good enough or any of those things, and to start to change the way that we hear that negative self-talk.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is so true. I got to say, that makes so much sense, to be able to, if you can provide a coach for your developing daughter, because there are so many, we just naturally have insecurities, especially in that age range, right? And so to boot, I do think that that was always a thing, like, you know, that we had magazines, we had commercials before that we were comparing ourselves to, I remember growing up. However, I think the difference now with social media is that we're not only now comparing ourselves to complete strangers, but even our friends that are posting all the best things. And they're like, oh, look at my friend down the street. She's doing so much. She looked, you know, all these things. Now it's like, it brings it to another dimension, another dynamic.
And it's like, it's 24/7. It's there 24/7 all the time. And I know, like, from my kids too, you know, you can even see when you're missing out on something. Like, whereas back in the day, maybe you didn't get invited, but you didn't know you missed out, you know, but now you literally can see, oh, look at them on the snap map. They're all there and I'm not there. I wasn't invited, you know, like, so it's, it is really hard.
It's really difficult. Yeah. And I think we need like really strong mental attitudes in order to deal with that, you know, and that's why I feel as strongly as I do about teaching that to our girls.
Well, here, you know, we hear you say on social media that you don't have to earn your rest.
Yes.
And so can you tell us a little bit more about what that means?
Sure. Yeah. So that's actually something that I have recently been working on myself, you know, so, and that's another thing I like to. Yeah.
I think we all need to work on it. When I heard that one, I was like,
I think this is for like the teen girls and their moms.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah. I think a lot of the things I post, I'm like, this is for you too, you know, because it's coming from me. That's why, you know, because
absolutely,
I'm not like, I never want to come across like, I have all these things figured out. I'm working on these things just as much as I'm coaching them. So that for me, it's like coming into my head and going right back out to somebody else, but it's happening for me at the same time, you know? Mm-hmm. And something that I struggled with, I think, for a long time was sort of like, you know, productivity or accomplishments mean worth or whatever, you know, whatever word you want to fill in there. And, you know, again, having cancer really, you know, got me in my tracks, obviously, because, you know, you literally just can't like get out of bed the next day after a chemo treatment, or can't get off the couch or whatever, because you're exhausted and it really takes a toll on your body. And so the like superhuman mom approach that I think a lot of us do, where we all run around and like try to do everything all the time, it just is physically impossible when you're going through cancer treatment. And that was a hard pill to swallow for me, because I was like a super achiever, you know, sort of fixated on like, I have to get things done all the time. If there's a day where I sit around and put my feet up all day, like I'm wasting time, you know, what am I doing today? Yeah. I didn't get something done today. And having that experience of having had cancer did stop me in my tracks and forced me to realize that's what I was doing. I don't even think I realized I was doing that for a long time. And, you know, really made me take a look at myself and say, wow, okay, I need to be able to say, Like, what did I accomplish today? I rested today. That's check, right? Check that off the list, you know? And I think like there's a lot of pressure for high school, middle school, high school girls. I mean, I think high school, it starts to ramp up quite a bit more because they're starting to think about college and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, as young as middle school, we hear kids starting to talk about, you know, I need to be able to get into a good school and what am I going to put on my resume and all these things. So I think there's always like this underlying pressure. Some of it's societal, some of it we put on ourselves of like, I have to do in order to get where I need to get all the time. And we're on this like psychotic treadmill of, you know, just go, 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 go all the time. And there is a lot to do. You know, there's a lot to do as moms. There's a lot to do as teens, you know, high school, middle and high school students. I mean, we've got our kids in activities, they have schoolwork, you know, they in high school, sometimes depending on where they are, they have to do like community service hours, you know, they have to start applying to colleges. You know, there's really a lot going on all the time. And we can get caught in the trap of just like white knuckling life, I feel like, where we're just like, even if I'm tired, I'm just doing it because there's so much to do and I can't stop. And so I like to put that message out there on Instagram from time to time of just remember that like, it doesn't have to be when I get done with X, Y, and Z, then I can take the rest that I need. It should be the reverse, which is let me take the rest that I need now so that I can get X, Y, and Z done because I'll have the energy or the mental capacity to do it.
I love that. Yeah, it's so true. We're all like that. I feel like we're all rushing to the next thing. And it's funny, I remember when COVID happened and everything was shut down, at the beginning, a little bit like a relief because it was calming. Like, you know, there wasn't so many things to rush to. I wasn't rushing to this activity, to the next activity, to this, to that, to that, to that, you know. And then, of course, quickly, it got really bored quickly. But it made me think like, well, when things reopen, will I reevaluate? Mm-hmm. And I sort of just got swept up. I got swept right back up into like the tsunami that is life, you know, that every day I was like running from one thing to the next again. And so I think your reminders are so important for all of us because we're just all caught up. It's so busy. Every minute of the day is booked.
It is. And we really have to slow down.
I was just talking to you about this, Kristen. Yes. Today, you know, I'm driving, I had clients. And, you know, as Katie is talking, Kristen, I just realized also I started my day at 4:30 a.m. yesterday. That was another thing. And I was like, you know, I'm driving past the beach and I'm like, I just really want to go to that beach right now. And I had a block of time, but I had that block of time to do more work, right? To get my laptop to do this work. And I'm like, you know what? I found a parking spot miraculously. And I was like, this is a sign. And I just beelined to the beach and I allowed myself that time with guilt-free, right? Because that was the other thing. Because then I was like, all right, am I going to do this and then like be beating myself up the whole time? Oh, you really should be doing this, Raquel. You know, how dare you like, you know, go to the beach in the middle of the day. And I'm like, you know, no, I'm going to enjoy this. And it doesn't mean I'm not going to get my work done. I'm going to, you know, put it off a little bit to another part of the day. And I'll just, you know, make the adjustments and be okay with that. Because what I'm realizing now, as you were explaining what you said, is that is part of the work, right? To allow ourselves the freedom to be present, to lean into our joy, to lean into rest and replenishing so that we can be better for the rest of the day. And I really feel like the rest of the day, I did do better.
Yeah. And it's true. And I use this example all the time when I talk to, you know, when I talk to girls too, but it's true for moms as well. Like, and I'm sure this is cliche and we've heard this a million times, but you know, if you were driving on the highway and your car was running out of gas, you would say, I need to stop and get gas. You wouldn't say, I don't have time to stop for gas. This car better keep going because it's got to get me to where I need to go and just suck it up and get there.
Yeah, right.
Love
you
that.
Would stop and put gas in the tank, right?
Yep. Like,
we don't do the same for ourselves. You know, we don't like, we say to ourselves, just a little more time. You don't need to take a break now. We have more things to do. I got to get this laundry folded. You know, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. And you're never at the finish line. There's always something else. Like you kind of delude yourself that you're going to get through all the tasks and get it all done, but there's always going to be something that's not done.
Right. So. Yeah. Right.
It's not like I'll never have another load of laundry to do.
Yeah.
Again. Right.
What am I racing to?
Yeah, exactly.
That is so true. So, you know, I think one of the things is that you also help parents. So we were curious, how are you helping parents of teen girls? How does that work?
Yeah. So I do some workshops throughout the year for some that are just for girls and then some that are just for parents. And the ones that are just for parents, I generally talk about different topics. You know, I kind of try to go one topic at a time so we keep it simple and nice and actionable and simplified. But, you know, some of the things that we talk about and that I work on with parents are things like just like how to help your child have a more productive routine at home that can help with like overall wellness. I have a lot of parents who will say to me, you know, I don't know how to get her off her phone. She's on her phone all day long. I don't know how to get her off. So it's easy to say, you know, you need to have her be on her phone less often, but it's harder to actually implement that. So, you know, we talk about coming up with routines and actual schedules. And something that I'm really, really big on is having your daughter create schedules and things like that with you. Because I think it would be easy for us to sit down and craft a schedule and say, this is what you're doing. This is when you're not allowed on your phone anymore. I'm taking it away, right? We take it away. You're losing phone time, things like that. But that takes away the ownership from your daughter about, you know, making the right, because ultimately it's not necessarily about like, I want you to listen to me. It's about, I want you to learn how to take better care of yourself so that when, you know, off in college in a few years or like an adult on your own, that I know that I've given you the tools to take care of yourself without
it's empowering me saying it. It's to empower them.
Right. So we work on things like making, you know, coming up with a routine that works, you know, like I have parents all the time, just I say, you know, just sit down with your daughter and ask her, when does she think would be a good time for her to be on her phone? And when is a good time for her not to, you know, let her tell you, maybe she wants to check her phone for an hour a day at 3 o'clock when she gets home from school. And then maybe you don't want her on it at 10 o'clock at night. So there's a like a middle ground there. You can say, let's have like 3 to 4 is phone time. And then, you know, after that time, we're plugging it in the kitchen and we're not keeping it in your pocket or we're not keeping it next to you while you're doing your homework, you know, things like that. So, and then from time to time, like a couple of times a year, I run a sort of a simplified workshop, but just on some nutritional stuff, because I also find a lot of girls who, you know, come to me and they talk about anxiety and they talk about how they feel so anxious and wound up all the time, but they're like starting their morning with, you know, like a Coke and a donut, you know, and I'm like, okay, so like, if we change some of those things around, you'll probably feel a little better, you know, so we have to just, and I know like, you know, lucky teens with their metabolism, like we, you know, we couldn't do that at this age anymore, but you know, it's not making anybody feel good. So it's, you know, like, so stuff like that, just, and again, it's about empowering the kids to want to choose those things themselves. It's not necessarily about saying like, you're not allowed to have this, this, or this. It's like, let's see how you feel after you make healthier choices. And let's keep track of, you know, maybe a journal or something like that. Let's keep track of how you feel when you eat sugary junk things, caffeine, too much caffeine, you know, stuff like that. And ultimately you want them to arrive at like, I would rather have the healthier stuff or whatever, because it makes me feel better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think also a fitness plan. I think, you know, these girls need to work out. It makes a huge thing when they work out, and they, and that's another way of feeling empowerment with themselves, you know, just having, releasing stress. It's great for managing anxiety and that type of thing.
Absolutely.
Awesome. And even with, I have to say with how you said that the parents and the teens work together to put kind of boundaries around the phone. My daughter, I have to say, even kind of started doing it for herself, because she even flagged herself. Like, she was like, and, you know, it was the summer and she had more free time. I will say during the school year, she's really busy with like sports and then school. But in the summer, she's had a lot more time. And she was telling me like, I'm spending way too much time like on TikTok. It's not good. You know, like,
yeah.
So I think that's great. Like, I think we have, you know, it's part of our lives. It's not like social media and phones are going away anytime soon. So we have to be able to create things, strategies that work for us, you know, as adults too. As adults too.
Like, true. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know what I find interesting? Because I have two daughters and two sons. And what I find very interesting is that in my household, my daughters are not as much into their phone. And my sons are on their phones, like literally every second, like all, like I can't talk to my son without him like being in his phone. I'm like, dude, eyes here, look at me. I'm talking to you.
He's like, you're describing it like he's inside there. Like, it's like another world he's like sucked in.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And I find that really interesting.
Well, and the thing that's funny about that is, you know, it really is addicting. I mean, it's a lot like a drug in some ways, you know, like we wouldn't, but it's become so commonplace that we tend to say to ourselves, why can't I get off this phone? Or why can't I, you know, just like any other addiction, I mean, mm-hmm. it's difficult to stop something that you're, you know, so stuck to. So, I mean, I think like having, it's definitely not going away. It's not going anywhere. It's a big part of our kids' lives. It's a big part of our lives even, you know, and, you know, even as business owners, you find yourself going on Instagram to like create your post for the day, but then you're like slowly scrolling and then you're like, wait, no. That's
right. I'm not here to look at
that stuff.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you get, I mean, the amount of time that's wasted is unbelievable, really.
Yeah. So I think like teaching strategies and the reason I like doing that together too, like, we're, you know, as a mom working with your child to create those strategies and those routines together is because I think it does help to strengthen your bond a little bit more as well, because you can say, look, I know what you're, I feel the same thing when I go on my phone, I'm also, you know, scrolling and like, let's do this together, you know, and it can kind of help create a little bit more connection also with your daughter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where you're feeling like you're supporting each other.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I guess the last question is, how are you helping teen girls with academics? Because that's one of the things you talk about.
That's a great question. So academics, you know, I work with girls in a range when it comes to academics. So I work with some girls who are struggling in school, struggling to get, you know, like the grades that they want or the grades that their parents would like to see or the grades that they're going to need to get into colleges or things like that. But then I also work with girls who are struggling in the sense of they're getting A's, but they are so overcome with perfectionism that they're like, it's like debilitating anxiety over the idea of like getting A's, not getting A's, you know, things like that. So just like everything else that I think I've said today, I think that everything comes back to, you know, self-talk, feelings of self-esteem or self-worth, and what we tell ourselves that we're capable or not capable of. So the way that I work with my students, my teen girls who are struggling in either of those ways, is really, again, not necessarily about coming up with like a checklist. I could give you a checklist of all the things you need to do to be a more organized student or a more productive student, but it's not really going to stick if you don't think you can do it. Or if you're someone who's struggling with perfectionism, all the things I could suggest for you are not necessarily going to stick if you are still telling yourself inside, I'm not good enough. I have to get that A. If I don't, I'm fill in the blank, you know. I'm not enough, or whatever it is that you're thinking. Right. So I really try to get to like the root of, what are you feeling about yourself? What are you telling yourself? And how are those things getting in the way of your execution of your daily, you know, tasks? And then we do work on executive functioning things, and we work on how to like put a routine in place for yourself, or how to take better care of yourself or have better wellness in your life. But I really strongly believe that like your wellness really comes from your heart and your mind first, you know, before you actually implement some kind of a schedule or a routine or like things like that. So those are some of the things I try to unravel in the coaching that we do, you know, with some talks and some questions about what you're telling yourself and how you kind of treat yourself, you know, because I think that's the first step. I don't think anything really changes if you don't change the way you treat yourself.
That is like, that hit me to the core right there, how you treat yourself. Yeah, because that chatterbox is going, we're always thinking, and that awareness, I think, you know, of how am I speaking to myself? Like, even like for myself, you know, as a 57-year-old woman, like yesterday, like, you know, I'm an adult, I run my business, like, you know, like, why can't I go to the beach? Like, why was like that such a terrible thing? Oh, Raquel, you can't, you know, like, why can't I do that? Like, what was so bad about it? It was like, oh, because I wasn't going to be doing a good enough job, or like, what, you know, I just found that really interesting, that it's like I'm my own slave master.
Yeah. Yeah.
And why am I doing that? And I would think when you just said the words like being enough, because I'm working so hard to be enough, to prove that I am this thing, to for what? Like, and it's probably has like a lot of peel that onion, like, how, why am I treating myself this way? Like, what's the point, you know?
Right.
And so that's so wonderful that you're digging into that, you know, this wonderful stage in a woman's life, you know, and this, so that when these young women get to be, you know, that they're going to be further along with all this. Yeah, I mean, so many things that we covered, but being mindful of our time, Katie, what are, do you think are two simple things that we can do today to support our teen or our preteen girls
Yeah, that's a great question. I like to talk about action, you know, actionable strategies that are easy and quick and we can just start doing right now. I think one thing, so as moms, you know, as parents, I think one thing that we can really do, and this is a gift for our children and also for ourselves, is to start thinking a little bit about why we do this to ourselves first and start to allow ourselves to take a break, take a minute, you know, take a rest, change our own self-chatter and our own negative self-talk, because sometimes it comes out, right? So our kids are hearing everything we say and do, right? So sometimes we might say to ourselves, well, I would go do that right now, but I can't. I don't have time. I have this to do. I have that to do. You know, so they're hearing that too, and they're internalizing those things as well. So, you know, it's possible that some of the things we think about ourselves are being absorbed by our kids. So I would say one first step might be to allow yourself to take a minute and, you know, have a break when you need one and be a little bit more like mindful of that. And then the other thing I would say is, you know, whenever we are out with our kids, with our teen girls or, you know, whatever, trying to find little moments of connection where we can let them know that we feel some of the same things that they feel. I mean, obviously we're in a different stage of life right now, you know, and they're just beginning, you know, lots of different experiences happening and lots of different feelings and all those things. But what they go through is not that different than what we go through on a daily basis, you know, just having a lot of things to do all the time and just kind of like always trying to carve out time, take care of ourselves. So, you know, if our daughters are doing something that we see ourselves in them, you know, they're rushing around or saying like, I don't have time for this or I don't have time for that. Instead of saying, you know, sometimes we're tempted to say, oh my God, well, that's ridiculous. Don't say that, you know, stop in that moment and say, you know what? I feel the same way sometimes. And let's talk together about how we could change that. Because, you know, if I can change it, you can change it. Let's change it together. You know, I think that brings us closer to them rather than further apart. And I think that once we have a connection going with our teen girls, it's a little bit easier to help them make changes if, you know, if we feel like they do need to make some changes in their lives, routine wise or wellness wise. But I think it starts with kind of like the connection. So kind of finding a moment for that is probably a good step that you could start thinking about right now. You know, you could start to try to do that today.
I love that. I feel like everything we've talked about today is stuff that I could use to be working on or applying in my life. So I think you're kind of coaching the parents too. Absolutely. I know I could see that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So I just want to tell everyone that you can connect with Katie on Instagram and Facebook at Katie Burns Wellness, or you can visit her website at katieburnswellness.com. And then also visit Katie's website if you're interested in a complimentary coaching session.
Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate having the chance to come on here and talk about these things. This has been fantastic. So I really, really appreciate you both and the work that you do also. And thank you so much for having me today.
The information provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purpose of diagnosing, curing, treating, or preventing any disease. We are functional medicine certified health coaches and not licensed medical professionals. The opinions and advice of guests are their own and also not considered to be medical advice. Always consult with a healthcare professional when making any healthy lifestyle changes. We would love to hear from you. Please leave a comment or review. Email us at info@functionalmoms.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit the subscribe button.